Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is The Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. If it's your first time, an extra special welcome to you. And if you love listening in every single week, thank you also for sticking around. We are going to be talking today about some concepts that I have regarding the importance of management of your feet as a person with diabetes. Feet are not necessarily a hot topic, and certainly not a topic for hot weather. And with us being in flaming June right now, one of my articles actually that I've done for the Health Triangle magazine this month is all about what to do if you, or for that matter, those around you, suffer from your pongy feet. That's right, pongy feet at this time of year are particularly a problem for many people. And so therefore, if you want to have a quick read of that article, go to the Health Triangle magazine and subscribe to it. I think one issue is £4 and can't remember what it is, but it, you know, the more you get, the more discount you get. And there's some fantastic articles in there. There are so many writers in there who have some really good articles about all aspects of healthcare. I do a couple of articles, one on foot health and one on diabetes. So check that out. The diabetes one actually is going to be very similar to the topic that we are going to talk about today, and probably we'll go into a little bit more depth than what we will have time for today, and that is a topic which I address in my book. It's a way of looking at the feet which I think can be helpful for many people. I try to draw upon situations in life to try and make analogies to the importance of looking after ourselves with diabetes, and particularly, of course, as most of you all know, I'm a podiatrist and have a passion for helping prevent amputations, and therefore I very often try to draw analogies to foot care and the importance of foot care as a person with diabetes. So I hope that you will stick around today. You'll listen in. We've got some great music coming up as well. But if you're familiar with the show, you'll know that at this point, I normally will go into just sharing some of the news that has been around since the last time I updated you on it. And I look on a couple of websites for this. I look on the website called diabetestimes.co.uk. That's one of them. And then the other one is diabetes.co.uk. And we're going to kick off today for a change with Diabetes Times, first of all. And there's a couple of articles on there I just wanted to share. And the first one is that Roche Diabetes Care, I hope that's the way you pronounce that, Roche or Roche Diabetes Care. Anyway, spelled R-O-C-H-E. Teams up with Boots. I can pronounce that one okay. Boots to offer free access to the My Sugar Pro app. This is an app which has been produced by Roche, and it is to help people to have better control of their diabetes, better management of it. The My Sugar is spelt M-Y-S-U-G-R and then Pro after it. If you look in the App Store, you should find that. Apparently, it is a free app. It's made available freely to adults with diabetes in the UK to provide them with support during this pandemic of COVID-19, when we know just how important it is to manage our blood sugars. So do please check that app out. And if you want to look at more about it, then do go to the Diabetes Times website and you'll see that article there. The second item that I saw on Diabetes Times, which I thought I'd draw your attention to, is that there's an eminent diabetologist by the name of Dr. Mark Evans, who has said that a drug called dapagliflozin could save the NHS £298 million. Apparently, a study called DECLARE showed that this drug can prevent serious clinical events, particularly hospitalization for heart failure, and it could possibly reduce the likelihood of progression of renal disease amongst people without established atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. So obviously it's important to try and save the NHS money as wherever possible, and obviously if it is saving money because there are less complications and less issues that are going to lead people to be in hospital, then that's got to be a good thing for the health of the public as well. So I think they're going to be looking into that and whether or not that drug should become more available. Going over to the diabetes.co.uk site now, and a couple of items on there, or a few items actually. First one is that there has been a survey done from the Obesity Health Alliance, which basically looked into whether or not the government should take immediate action on obesity. Now that research has found that it can worsen COVID-19 symptoms, of course. And this survey has shown that 74% of the public support the idea that junk food adverts should be banned before the 9 p.m. watershed. 72% of those asked want to see more restrictions imposed on shops promoting unhealthy foods, and 62% want to see promotional offers on junk food restricted. The poll also showed that 79% of people want a national plan to improve public health introduced, and 78% want to see a national exercise scheme brought in. Well, I guess all of that is good, and I hope that things will improve generally for the health of this nation. And that links in extremely well to the next one, which I found, which says that lockdown introduced in response to the COVID-19 pandemic has had a negative impact on childhood obesity. This is something that researchers have been saying, and I think it's pretty common sense. And certainly if you look at my family, not that we're all getting obese, but certainly there hasn't been a lot of exercise being going on by the younger generation. We bought a trampoline, and that's been used to a degree, but not as much as I would like it to be used. But there was a glimmer of hope, actually, because yesterday my daughter, who is 13, for the first time ever actually offered to come for a run with me. I go running very regularly. I do normally 5 or 6K a day, sometimes a bit more. And she volunteered to come with me, but we did have to go around the local little park so that I could let her drop out when necessary. But she managed about 1.5 kilometers, yeah, she vows she'll never do it again, but I'm hoping that we can twist her arm and get her out there again. Anyway, going back to the article, a team from the University of Buffalo studied 41 overweight children from Italy throughout March and April when the country was forced to go into lockdown in a bid to stop the spread of the virus. The findings found that the young people ended up eating an extra meal a day and slept for an extra half an hour a day on a daily basis. So obviously less energy burn up and more calories in. And that can only go one way, of course. In addition, they had swapped out exercise for an extra 5 hours a day screen time, and their intake of red meat, junk food and sugary drinks was also significantly increased. If you want to read more about that, then do go and read it on diabetes.co.uk's website. I must say, when I've been looking at all these news items over the course of lockdown, it has, and particularly in recent weeks, it's actually felt quite depressive because there's so many links between diabetes, obesity, diabetes and COVID-19 cases, COVID-19 deaths. And right now, but looking here, there's a couple of articles. I'm not going to go into depth in them, but please do go and read them if you feel that you feel up to it. But 1 in 10 people with diabetes and COVID-19 die within a week in hospital. There's been more research into that. That was said some time ago. There's been more research into it. It seems to be that stat is correct. Diabetes, older age and COVID-19 in pregnancy increases death risk factor. That's another article. I'm not going to go into depth in it, but do read it. If you have diabetes, if you are older age, and if you're pregnant, I'm not saying it necessarily means all three of those at once, although it could be, I suppose, but it's either or those factors increase risk. On a positive note, let's have a positive note. On a positive note, next article is a woman with type 1 insists the condition does not have to get in your way. And that is certainly something which we need to grasp hold of. Same with type 2. It doesn't have to get in your way. But I understand where she's coming from with this comment, because type 1 can really take over your life, and it can be very negative. It can be very depressing. But you've got to have the right mindset. Anyway, this lady, she's a female builder from Suffolk, has type 1 diabetes. She reassures people that there is light at the end of a tunnel after a diagnosis. She's 21. Her name's Chloe Bentick from a place called Stanton. And she was diagnosed at the age of 4 after she started downing glasses of sugar-free lemonade and running to the loo repeatedly. So she's now 21. She was 4 when she got it. I make that 17 years of having the type 1 diabetes. And she was speaking to an East Anglian newspaper during Diabetes Week, of course, which we've just had. And in this article, she talks a little bit about her, how she was diagnosed, etc., and growing up with it. But being 21 now, she says, you know, I still go out with my friends, have a drink. I'm just sensible and never go over the top for my own safety. And she leads a happy life, she says, which says she's proven that diabetes doesn't have to get in your way at all. So it's good for her to stand up and to share it. You know, there is light at the end of a tunnel. If you've just been diagnosed, if you've got a family member who's diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, it can be devastating. There's certainly some changes that need to be made. But if you are in control of it, and that's the key thing, if you are in control of it, you can lead a pretty normal life and you can certainly enjoy yourself. So please do try to manage it as best you possibly can. Next one on diabetes.co.uk, and it's actually the last one that I've found this month, it doesn't actually seem to be linked necessarily to diabetes, but it is something I want to just, you know, flag up anyway. So if you are in this group, you can be particularly vigilant. And obviously, if you've got diabetes, then be even more vigilant. It says that more than half of pregnant women with COVID-19 are from Black and Asian minority ethnic backgrounds. So it's something that is really worth being aware of if you are pregnant and if you are from a Black, Asian or minority ethnic background. It shows that half of pregnant women admitted to a UK hospital with COVID-19 were in that group. Now, this study was done by the University of Oxford, and they also looked into other components as well, which could impact the health outcome, and noted that 70% of these ladies were overweight or obese, 40% were aged 35 or over, and a third of them had another health condition. So that does put them, you know, at increased risk of the effects of coronavirus. However, on the whole, the outcomes were good, and the transmission rate from mother to baby was also very low as well. Now, when I was Googling things the other day, I came across another article as well, and this one is actually from The Telegraph, and I think it's worth mentioning. It's COVID-19 may trigger the onset of diabetes in previously healthy people. And this is looking into that there may be some sort of link to viral infection with COVID-19 may trigger the onset of diabetes. Professor Rubino says diabetes is one of the most prevalent chronic diseases, and we are now realizing the consequences of the inevitable clash between the two pandemics, the one of diabetes and, of course, the COVID-19. He says, given the short period of human contact with this new coronavirus, the exact mechanism by which the virus influences glucose metabolism is still unclear, and we don't know whether the acute manifestation of diabetes in these patients represent classic type 1, type 2, or possibly even a new form of diabetes. Well, that's all the articles that I found this week on diabetes and the various sources that I looked. No doubt you will find other ones. And if there's anything of particular interest that I've missed, then please do let us know. Get in touch with us. Remember, you can always get in touch with us here. If you've got any topic you want talked about, any person you want interviewed, if you want to be interviewed yourself, if you've got a story, a positive story preferably, that you want to share, or just something that other people can learn from, then please do get in touch. Maybe you want to just play a song on the radio. Maybe you want to control what I put on in the way of my choice of music. Please do just let us know. Get in touch by emailing us at thediabetesshow@undefeated.org. thediabetesshow@undefeated.org. But remember, undefeated is spelt with all E's. We are going to take a break now, and we are going to have a song, which is a bit of a blast from the past, from my youth. It's a band called Tempo Tudor, who were actually a punk band in those days. And they, Eddie Tempo Tudor, actually still going. I've seen him not recently, but in the last 10 years or so, doing sort of pub gigs and what have you. And he was famous probably for the song Swords of a Thousand Men. I hope you enjoy this tune, and afterwards I'll tell you why I played it. That was Tempo Tudor and Swords of a Thousand Men. I hope you enjoyed it. A pretty jolly tune. You can't help but love it. I'm sure there's some of you who are saying, yes, you can. Anyway, we're going to go into, not an interview now, actually, because you're going to be having to put up with my voice, I'm afraid. There's no interview today. It's going to be me sharing some thoughts. And my thoughts are linked loosely to that song. That song, any of you that remember the video in Top of the Pops back then, this would be in the early 80s. I think it was about 1982 when they were just starting, bands were just starting making out music videos. And Tempo Tudor, their one, basically they were dressed up in armor, Swords of a Thousand Men. The song conjures up to me what it would have been like to a degree in a battle back in the medieval times. And it reminded me actually that there is a link, or at least in my mind, and I have a mind which probably does just drift off sometimes and conjures up some weird ideas, but I have shared this with people. many people have actually said that, you know, it was really helpful in a weird, bizarre sort of way. So I want to share with you a concept which is in my book. So if you want to read more about it, then please do get hold of my book. It's called Undefeated by Diabetes. And it is a step-by-step guide to keeping your feet healthy for life. And it is aimed at, obviously, people with diabetes, type 1, type 2, any type of diabetes, pre-diabetes. Many of the concepts in it are appropriate for people if they haven't got diabetes as well. It's just that if you have diabetes, then it's all the more important to look after your feet, and you need to take note of the things that we talk about in that book. And one of the chapters in that book, I introduce the concept of the feet being a little bit like a castle or fort. My kids are going to be so pleased with me, you know, because I said castle. I normally, from my time living up north as a kid at school, I normally say castle and grass and have a laugh and I'm going to go and have a bath and cut the grass and look through the glass. That's my sort of default, and it really annoys them when I say my words in that way. But I actually did say castle there, as opposed to castle. Anyway, I can't promise that I will stay with the castle the whole way through, but we will see. The idea is that the feet are a bit like a castle. And a castle was a great stronghold. A castle was somewhere where the occupants felt safe. And it was somewhere that if you really wanted to win in a battle, you had to really try hard to breach the walls of that castle. Now, any castle would have had a captain or a commander. And of course, my analogy here is that you are responsible for the downfall of your feet, your castle. Okay? The feet are, in many ways, can be related to the castle idea. And crucially today, I want you to learn how to preempt and avoid many of the attacks or the form of attacks. You can just picture it. You can picture people in a castle. Any of my American friends listening, if you've ever been over here and visited one of our medieval castles, you'll know, you'll have that picture in your mind right now. If you haven't, then maybe go and watch a film. And when COVID-19's out of the way, get over here and come and have a look at some of our castles. There are some amazing ones. Really, really incredible buildings, incredibly strong, made to last for, well, they have lasted for centuries. And many of them were able to withstand incredible attacks. Now, a castle needs maintenance in order to remain strong. If you look at some of these castles, although they've lasted hundreds of years, they have deteriorated, shall we say, because they haven't necessarily been looked after. Those that have been looked after and maintained would be just as strong today as they were when they were built. Obviously, our weapons these days are a bit different, but the castle would still be just as strong. And I want you to look after your feet throughout life. Okay, that's the idea. Rather than just fighting off attacks when they occur. And we're going to talk about the types of attack that your feet are going to be subject to. Okay, when you're in a castle, when you're in a castle, you would be just waiting, wondering if the attack was going to come. And if they often besieged you, they would siege the castle. They would stop people from getting food in there, stop water from getting in, force the people to give up. And all the time they were doing that siege, they would quite often have little scurries to try and attack a particular area, maybe. You know, they were just a bunch of soldiers would go and try and attack a certain area in a certain way. And you'd be inside wondering what was going to come next, what is going to happen, where are they going to try and breach next, have we got a weak spot? Keeping your feet in good condition just as keeping the castle in good condition will help negate the effects of any assault on them in the future. And there are certainly some assaults that can come towards your feet. So let's talk about how the feet are like a castle, or as I put in my book, really, I put it as a fort. So fort feet, just because it sort of sounded a bit more catchy. Anyway, first of all, a castle's foundations need to be strong. Likewise, your foot structure needs to be strong. And there are foot structures and there are foot structures. So people have different types of foot structure, and some support the body fantastically, others not so good. But they should be able to support the whole body and withstand whatever is thrown at it. So whatever you get into, whatever sport you get into, whatever activity you do, however many years you're going to be walking around on them, they should be able to support it and should be able to function normally throughout. However, the foot structure can vary, the foundations can vary, and they could therefore deteriorate. The next part of analogy is that the castle walls are like your skin, and they need to be able to endure any attacks from the enemy. Any break in the walls of a castle leads to a greater risk of invasion. Likewise, any break in the wall of your foot, in the skin of your foot, has a much greater risk of invasion by bacteria causing an infection. And these attacks, they can either be one big event, so you have a massive onslaught from the enemy, or it can be a much less severe, repetitive little jabbing away, which means that the wall or the skin eventually gives in to that continual pressure. So, for example, it could be that you stub your toe. And one of the things I do mention in my book, actually, is about trying to keep your house tidy. Don't have clutter around everywhere, because you're much more likely to stub your toe on things. If you're going out in the garden, wear something which is closed in over the toes. Just try and protect them from getting stubbed. So that's one way. A big event, a big injury, a stubbing of a toe, or it could be a more repetitive one, such as a shoe which is just rubbing, or even just the pressure under the foot from the way your foot works because of that foot structure we talked about. That repetitive rubbing can actually lead to the skin eventually giving in to that continual friction and pressure and getting developing a wound. Now, another way that the feet are a little bit like a castle, when you're in a siege situation of a castle, you would have lookouts posted, and those lookouts would be checking to see if there were any other new attacks coming. And in fact, even before siege, you would still have lookouts to make sure there wasn't an army approaching. And it would be wise as a person with diabetes to make sure you have lookouts as well. Now, the problem is that what we rely on to look out for us and our feet is generally pain. We rely on pain to tell us that something's wrong. Now, of course, many of you will be aware, with diabetes, you often lose the sensation of pain. And that's actually something which I just want to quickly drill into a little bit further, because quite often you can go and get your feet checked by your nurse, by your doctor, and they check light touch. So a little tiny monofilament thing which bends when it touches your skin. Can you feel it? And it's a good test to see if you have got progressive neuropathy where it's got to such a stage that you can't feel that thing. But actually, my view is that we should be testing people with a sharp touch. There's a thing called Medipin. You can buy them for yourselves. Brilliant. They're plastic, and they provide a sharp stimulus. And it's actually the nerve endings that sense sharpness that get damaged before the nerve endings that sense light touch. So in many ways, the monofilament it's good to use it, because you know if you can't feel that, you're part of the way down the line of having pretty bad neuropathy. But it's surely better to know early on that you're beginning to get neuropathy. So I suggest always doing the test with the sharp touch and double checking whether or not. And those are your lookouts. The fact that you can't feel that sharp touch means that you can't see the attack that could be coming. You're not feeling the little bit of glass that's sticking through the bottom of your shoe. You're not feeling that blister that's forming. It's really important that your sensitivity to pain, if it's affected, that you realize that it's not going to be making you aware of any danger anymore. And therefore, you don't just give up, you adapt. You think outside the box. Well, if I cannot feel my feet, what do I do? Well, obviously you make sure they're in a safe environment as possible, but you check them every day. Check that there isn't a wound. Check that there isn't a rub. Check that there isn't something weird going on with them if you can't feel your feet. And if you don't know if you can feel your feet, then as I said, get a hold of a Medipin. Better still, go and see a podiatrist and get a diabetes foot check done, and they'll tell you a lot more than that about your feet. Finally, most importantly, the castle needs a leader to strategize its defenses. And that is your job. You need to step up and be that leader. You need to become aware of any potential attacks and any weaknesses in your defense that could predispose you to those attacks. And then, and this is where I go into my diabetic sweet spot idea, really. Then, once you know what your risks are and you know what can go wrong, then you act upon it. There's absolutely no point a commander of a castle knowing that there's a risk of an attack from the enemy, knowing that his wall is a little bit weak on the left-hand far corner, and then not doing anything about it. Surely he's going to strengthen that corner. If he can strengthen the walls, if not, put more soldiers there to defend it. He's going to do what he can. He's going to act. And that is so important for you as the commander, as the captain of your feet. And really, I can't stress that enough. You've got to take responsibility. You cannot rely on your podiatrist. You cannot rely on your nurses, on your multidisciplinary team at the best hospital in the world. You cannot rely on them to do the work for you. They're your feet. You live with them 24/7. Yes, they can advise you. Yes, they can give you fantastic care. But you are the one ultimately that can help yourself with your blood sugars, which is going to make a huge difference. But you're the one also that puts the shoe on your foot. You're the one that puts the foot through what it has to go through. You're the one that lives with it 24/7 and can look after it. So please take responsibility, step up to the mark, and become that captain, that leader of your castle, of your feet. We're going to take a little break now before we continue on with this theme. And the song we're going to listen to now is by Rachel Platten, and it's called Fight Song. It's a song I really enjoy. Again, you're getting all my choices today. I hope you enjoy it.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion. Like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life.
I'm not afraid to die.
into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match.
That was Rachel Platten and Fight Song. You are listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, and I do hope that you are enjoying the show so far and enjoying my wacky concept of the feet being a little bit like a castle, or to keep you up north happy, castle, or to keep you over in America happy, fort. The feet are like that. We've talked a little bit about you being the commander of your feet, but I want us just to think a little bit about the attackers themselves, and what would they be doing? What would an attacker who's coming to with his army to besiege a castle, or to win over a castle for that matter, what would they think about doing? How would they win? Well, there's various ways, but the main way that they want to win is to breach the walls of that castle. They could just besiege it and force people to come out, but in the end, that is going to cause them to come out. It's going to cause them to surrender. Most of the time, they would be attacking. They would be throwing things at that castle, hoping that the walls would break down. They would dig under the walls, hoping they could get in, or hoping that they could cause the wall to collapse if they dug a big enough hole under the foundations. They would be looking for the weak spots. The captain of the attacking army would be looking at the way that the castle is defended. How many men are there in this corner? What about that corner? What about that wall there? That wall there looks a little bit like it might be thinner. What about the main entrance? Can we get in that way? They would be thinking of how could they get in. Now, one way that there is an analogy of is that they might just try to bash their way through the front door. They used to have battering rams. They'd come up and batter the great big tree trunk with a metal end on it into the doorway, or into the door rather, of the castle, hoping to smash it down. And that is very similar. We see quite a lot times where the big toe is bashing into the shoe. And that repeated bashing, just as the castle door might eventually give way, certainly would be damaged, so the big toe also gets damaged and can give way into forming a wound, an ulcer. It can end up, people have definitely lost toes, lost limbs, and even lost lives by a simple pressure from a shoe on the end of their big toe. So please make sure that your shoes are fit for purpose. Make sure they're big enough. Make sure they've got a strap or a lace to hold the foot back. Make sure you do it up properly so that the foot is held back. Make sure they're wide enough, they're deep enough, they're long enough. Make sure that your shoes are fit for purpose. And a little side point here, sometimes slippers can be the culprits. Slippers are a bit crafty. They're not that hard, so you don't feel them bashing into you, even if you've got sensation. If you haven't got sensation, then you probably won't even feel the shoes bashing into you. But even if you've got sensation, you don't necessarily feel a slipper. And gradually over time, gradually, it causes pressure and damage, and hard skin builds up. And before you know it, you've got a wound, and then you're in trouble. So please make sure that whatever you're putting on your feet, you do follow correct advice, and you do make sure that they're fit for purpose. So before I went off on that tangent, the attackers of a fort would be looking for those weaknesses. They might look for the door, as we just talked about. They could be looking for cracks in the walls. And in the same way, infectious bugs are looking for cracks in the walls of your feet. There are many, many bacteria living on your feet, and they are, for the most part, pretty harmless. But there are some which, if they get into a wound, can run riot. Just the same way that if some soldiers manage to get through a crack in the wall, they manage to breach that crack, they would run riot once they got into that castle. The bacteria can cause gangrene, it can cause all sorts of problems if they get into the feet. And one of the most common places for cracks, You've seen it, I'm sure, many of you on the beach or on the tube when people are wearing sandals. The backs of the heels can get very dry and cracked. And it's so simple to deal with generally because it cracks because the skin is too dry and hard. If you can keep it down and keep it moisturized, then for the most part, you're very unlikely to have any cracks there. And that is, it's just a simple thing to deal with. Just as I'm sure there have been captains in the past of castles who had some simple maintenance jobs they could have done, but they didn't, and that led to their castle walls being breached. Don't let your feet be breached by bacteria. Make sure you look after them. Make sure you give them the maintenance that they need and they deserve. Now, just picture you're in this castle and you can tell, you're the captain, you can tell that there's been a breach or there's about to be a breach of a wall over in the far corner, and you can tell that there's not many of your men there. What do you do? Well, you send your men over there. Same thing happens in the body. If you have got a wound that is coming, then, and certainly if it is, if the skin is breached and bugs get in there, then the body throws its soldiers, its white blood cells, over there to try and kill the bugs. The problem with diabetes is that you don't have enough of those white blood cells. You don't have enough of an immune response to try and kill off the bugs once they've breached. The other problem in a castle could be that it's just difficult getting the soldiers over to defend that area. You can just imagine it, narrow corridors, narrow parapets on the walls, bodies lying around the place where they've dropped from arrows being fired at them. It could be difficult to get your good, healthy men over to defend that far corner. And the same thing in feet. If your circulation is affected by your diabetes, which it often can be, it can just be so difficult to get the nutrients, to get the oxygen, to get the white blood cells over to the area that is the problem in your feet. So please make sure that you are doing your best to improve your circulation, that you're doing your best to improve your nerve supply. Make sure you know your situation, how good your nerve supply is, how good your circulation is, and then work from there to make sure that you are in control and are keeping the risks down to a minimum. One last point before we finish. I can imagine that if you are besieged in a castle, it can be very scary. It could be very lonely. And as the food starts running out, you could really be in trouble. It would not be a good place to be. How much hope would there be in your heart that someone is going to come and help you out? You can't get out of the castle to fight those soldiers there, but somebody could come up behind them and attack them from the rear. How much hope would that give you? Well, the good thing is that with diabetes, you can have that because you can have somebody else on your side helping you out. Yes, your podiatrist and your diabetes team are there to help you out. But again, that's only once in a while. Better still, have a friend, have a sweet spot buddy, as we call it, Undefeated. Somebody who is there to look out for you, someone who is there to help you, someone who is there to challenge you, to encourage you, somebody who is going to be able to make the difference between whether or not you end up giving in to this disease or whether you live a life that is controlling it fully and making sure that your feet never go into a siege situation, never get attacked in a way that you can't defend. I hope that this has been useful for you. I've enjoyed doing it. Each time I do this, I come up with some sort of different ideas and new ideas and twisted around. So hopefully when I listen back, it will make sense to me and it makes sense to you. Please do go ahead and get my book. You can get it on Kindle or you can get it on Amazon, Undefeated by Diabetes, a step-by-step guide to keeping your feet healthy for life. And what I mean by for life is I mean for long life, okay? Because we want you as a person with diabetes to be able to live a long life. And the best way you can do that is by having healthy feet, having good blood sugars, being able to keep active. So please do get hold of the book. You'll see this little passage. There's an expansion on this in there, and there's a whole host of different conditions that can affect a person with diabetes in detail, so you know the risks that you could be at, so you can act upon it, and so you can then stay in the diabetic sweet spot. We're going to close out with one more song now, and I think on that note of having somebody in your life helping you out in this fight, I think the only song we could play is by Dire Straits, and of course it is Brothers in Arms. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening, and have a fantastic week ahead.
Mist-covered mountains are home now for me, but my home is the lowlands and always will be. Someday you'll return to your valleys and your farms, and you'll no longer burn to be brothers in arms. Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle raged higher, and in the fear and the alarm, you did not desert me, my brothers in arms.
For this week's show, you've been listening to Peter Olsen with the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.